This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh my God, it's early.
18 minutes after 8 here on a Friday. And the chef wasn't with us last week because I was doing stuff down at Camp Pendleton. But he was under the weather. He joins us this morning so we get an update on his medical condition. What's going on, big man? You were down last week?
Yeah. I was on my back.
What happened?
Yeah, it's okay. Just a cold, you know.
Oh, all right.
It got too warm here, so I kind of got a cold.
Yeah, it's been, I've never seen, it's raining and cold, and it's been that way all month. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it.
You guys have had some weather, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so you guys were the news of the nation when it was 50 degrees below zero up there. What has the weather been the last week, 2 weeks?
Well, it's been around zero, gets below zero at night. Got up above 10, almost 20 degrees once last week, and then it dropped, and we'll have zero weather for the next week or two, and then we should start pulling up.
But stay that way, which is for North Dakota. I mean, you go down there, but it normally doesn't stay down there. And I was watching something on the Weather Channel that talked about the jet stream and what the jet stream is doing right now, and blah 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 blah. So I guess we're dealing with the jet stream, which normally doesn't impact California. And I have to say, I'm not real happy about it. So normally.
Yeah. Tremendous snows up north in Northern California.
We're done.
They got 2 feet of snow in Squim, Washington, which was near Port Townsend, Washington, on the Olympic Peninsula last week.
2 feet.
Port Townsend got a foot, and the town in between Port Angeles and Port Townsend got 2 feet of snow, for gosh sakes.
It's official. The end of the world is near. So, everybody, just want to congratulate you. You made it to the end. Congratulations.
Yes, and we'll go out with a bang.
Exactly. We'll have a big party, and we'll all, when the big meteor hits or whatever, then it'll all be good. It'll all be good. So what do you want to talk about today? Let's talk about food.
Yeah, that'd be swell.
What kind of food do you want to talk about?
Well, I sent you a recipe for a chutney for lamb.
Yeah, we talked about that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And so
we're not talking about that again.
On your desk, we can talk about any kind of soup for this kind of cold weather.
Cold weather soup. Do you have a favorite soup? Cold weather soup? You're a big split pea. It's kind of a hearty soup. We know that.
A vegetable soup last week that was spectacular.
Vegetable soup. Vegetable's not my favorite. You know, I mean, I tolerate it like everybody, But give me a good tomato bisque.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Give me a, it's a little bit of a trend here. Give me split pea soup. All will come before, all will come before vegetable soup.
And I didn't want to eat meat or chicken or anything. And so, you know, there were just all kinds of veggies in there, tomatoes, homemade chicken stock, and it was deluxe.
Deluxe.
Before that, we had a chicken and dumpling soup, which was most excellent. And she whipped up these dumplings and put in, you know, we cook a whole chicken and then take it out and take the chicken off the bone and make the soup base. And then she adds carrots, celery, onions, peas, the chicken back in, thickens it a little bit, and then drops dumplings in there and cooks it for about an hour. And, geez, it was killer. I do love the cream soups, but I guess I would have to say that my favorite soup at this time of year is split pea with ham.
Right. I mean, here's an email question. Mac, I too like thicker soups, and I am especially fond of some of the stuff you can buy in stores now.
Yeah.
That are bisque soups. Tomato bisque is my favorite of that genre. I've seen them at Whole Foods. I've also seen them at other stores, and I absolutely love it. Is it easy to convert tomato soup into a tomato bisque, Tim?
Well, it's pretty much using fresh tomatoes and cream to make your bisque, and you saute the tomatoes, the onions, maybe a little celery and carrot, chopped up fine, and then you puree all that, and with a little bit of chicken stock, and then you add your whipping cream to finish it off, and that's what makes the bisque. And it is a hearty soup and tomato bisque. I've made a lobster bisque before, which is absolutely spectacular. You get the stock, you cook your lobsters. Say you take a whole lobster. You cook it, you pull it out, you take the meat out of the lobster, then you put the shells back in the pan with a little oil, and you roast those in the soup pan, and then you flame the shells with maybe an ounce of brandy.
Oh.
That's what gives you your base. And you can do the same thing with the tomato bisque before you add your stock, is you flame the veggies and tomatoes with a little bit of your favorite brandy, and that gives it a richness and a back flavor that you can't, you know, it's, God, this is different, but what is that flavor? And that's what you try to do with the bisque. But with a lobster bisque, then you add a little bit of chicken stock to the shells that have been sauteed and then flamed with the brandy, and then you reduce that by half, then you strain out all the shells, and then you have this liquid, and you add heavy cream to the liquid, and chop up your lobster and put it in the soup, and that's how you make a lobster bisque.
My mother used to make lobster bisque, and it was one of my favorites. It took her a while. I mean, she did it all, you know, by hand, and you know, from the, she put celery in it. She put, you know, a few veggies in it, onions, and then the crab meat. And oh my God, it was to die for. You could, I mean, and it's not a light soup. I mean, you could make a whole meal on a fairly significant bowl of that stuff. It was delicious. And so that was my introduction to bisques in general with my mom. But I had never had tomato bisque, and that is by far, now I would tell you that I would concur with the emailer, that is by far my favorite. And you find it in when you go into a store, if you go into the deli section, you'll normally find, I don't want to call them gourmet soups, but they're not, you know, the soups that you would find in the canned food section. And I would tell you that they're delicious. You tend to find jambalaya. You tend to find, a couple versions of clam chowder that are a little bit more, high end. And you find tomato bisque there. And I will tell you, I absolutely love them. It's a great meal. And normally the tomato bisque has a little bit of a kick to it, which I like. So.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm a fan of that stuff. So there you have it. Here's another email about soup. Does Kim have a favorite gourmet soup that he buys? If so, I'd be curious about the brand. I've used his advice, and I believe it's the Knorr Bernay sauce that he recommended, and that is absolutely to die for on steaks. If you haven't done that, I would suggest wholeheartedly, if anybody listening loves steak and likes Bernays, the combination of the two are fantastic. Kim gave great advice. I'd be curious if he has any soups that he purchases. So, there you have it. Well done, Maestro.
Well, funny you should ask. I happen to have a favorite soup, gourmet soup, and guess who makes it? Knorr.
No way.
And, yeah. And it comes in a packet, and you add milk, whole milk, or cream. But it was a potato and leek soup. Now, we used to, when I was working in Switzerland, I discovered this. And we would come back from between seasons. We'd go down to Italy or Spain, spend all our money. We'd come back. We'd have a week or two where we'd stay in our chateau beside the hotel. And we'd go down. We buy a packet of this soup. We go buy the milk lady and get a quart of milk that was just the cream on the top kind of thing.
Right. This is the European version of macaroni and cheese for a week until payday.
Yes. But we buy some Swiss cheese, Gruyere cheese. We buy a loaf of bread. And the bread would last us about 4 days, and the cheese about the same, and we'd make grilled cheese sandwiches and have this soup at night, that's how we lived for about a week or so until the hotel opened and we could eat in the hotel.
If that's as bad as it gets, you're doing all right, right?
And they have a whole series of those soups, so check them out. You'll like them.
But again, if that's as bad as it gets, you're doing all right, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hello.
I mean, we thought we were in the front row. I mean,
another email, Matt. Could you spell Knorr for the rest of us?
K N O O R. Or no, K-N-O-R-R, okay. Knorr, yeah. K-N-O-R-R.
If you look at their website, what's your favorite soup?
It's the potato leek soup. I don't know if they still make it, but that was the one, because it was the most filling. You know, we'd put a milk in with it and mix it and then cook it. And,
it's called cream of leek soup, L-E-E-K.
Yes.
And I'm staring at it right now. Cream of vegetable soup looks really good to me right now. Let's see. And then you have, and then it says, these are all the Knorr items. You have bouillons. You have sidekicks, which are side dishes. Home stock and broth. You have gravies.
Yes.
These are all on their website. Classic sauces. You have pasta sauces and seasoning. You have dry soups. You have recipe soup mixes. You have instant thickeners. Well, that might come in handy. And you have Knorr One Skillet Meals. So all of that located on the Knorr website on the program that's brought to you by Knorr, except not really. Almarine Radio. We're all Knorr all the time. But, no, I first had Knorr, I first heard of Knorr when we asked Kim about the Bernays sauce that was on the ribeye steak that he made, because it was muy delicioso, and so he and then what was even better was it was in the local store, so we went and got it and we had it, and when we have ribeyes we'd always have béarnaise sauce with it. So that was my introduction. I am a fan.
And who knew that I'd find this in Switzerland? But when you have no money or very little money, and you're waiting for your hotel to open so you can start getting a paycheck, that's what we found on the shelf. And it lasted us, and it fed four guys every night. And we had fun. Played cards afterwards. Drank the local beer.
Yeah, but look, that's pretty high end for the low end. Right. If Knorr is your version of macaroni and cheese and grilled cheese sandwiches, that's, yeah, come on, man. I could do that all day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, for us it was we were living on the cheap. this is back in the 70s, so
right.
It was actually cheap
back then.
For us.
Here's another email.
I mean, there's never been a cheap country, and when you buy stuff, you know it's all imported.
Hello.
So,
gotta pay. Here's the email. I have found, and I'd be curious about Kim's thoughts about this, because I know he always encourages us to experiment with different things, but I have found one of the things that I've really loved to do is take soups, and I'm no stranger to Knorr soups, and I'm no stranger to the soups Mac's talking about, because I believe they exist in just about every supermarket these days. Taking them home, and for tomato soup, saute after you cut tomatoes, heat them up a little bit, and then throw them in the soup, and it just gives it more flavor to have fresh produce in those things. So I've become a little bit of a gourmet, and I'd like to recommend that to people, whether it's a little bit of onion, a little bit of garlic, or a combination of all of that, along with fresh produce, it does nothing but make those soups that are already good much better. Cheers, here's to good eating. Whoa, a little bit of a disciple of your let's mess with it school.
And they're spot on. That's exactly how you want to do it. If you want to bring up the flavor and do things like that, you should experiment, and you just come out a winner, winner, hot soup dinner, baby.
Wow.
I like to hear emails like that because you know, it's you have to improv, and the good thing, one of the things I learned in the kitchen was, I'm short of this. I gotta do. How am I gonna fix this one? And you improv. You had a little of this, a little of that, and pretty soon you go, hey, that wasn't so bad. And so, way to go. Way to go, emailer.
Here's another one. I don't want to play one up with anybody, but I would like to add an opinion to what I just heard. I also like to add beef. I'm a huge fan of Italian sausage. I would also recommend sautéing a little bit of Italian sausage, dumping the grease and the sausage into that tomato bisque, and hold on to your taste buds. It's delicious. It's delicious. Now I'm getting hungry for tomato soup with something in it. I don't know exactly what, but there's a little bit. That's almost like a tomato or a pasta sauce with Italian sausage in it. So you're getting, you're heading that direction a little bit.
And there's no such thing as one-upping us. It's always an addition and an enhancement. And ideas like that should be followed and talked about amongst ourselves. You take a sausage, you take a sweet or a hot Italian sausage, you can take the casing off the sausage and then chop it up. I like chopping it in smaller slices, so it stretches further. And I like having a little bite of sausage in every spoonful.
Hello.
So, yeah, that's a great, great idea, and should be checked out by those listening. And you can do the same thing with a good cut of a little bit of meat. You can do it anything you want. Ham, sliced ham, cut it up.
I like Italian sausage too, though.
Experiment. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
Italian sausage. Italian
better.
Here's another email. I enjoy taking a good cream of vegetable soup and simply adding a little bit of spiced chicken to it. I'll take some chicken, I'll shred it, and then I will just put whatever seasoning kind of moves me at the time. Normally, it's a little bit of garlic, it's a little bit of salt, season it up and bomb it into the chicken. Stir that in, and boom, another great meal. So I'm right in there. I will do the experiment with the tomato bisque. It does sound very good, especially on a cold day. That's no joke either. It does sound good on a cold day, because I'm sitting here.
Leaving it cold today.
Another email. I love the discussion about soups today. I'm a huge fan of soups. I think it goes back to when my grandmother and my mom used to put a bowl of soup in front of me. I don't know whether it reminds me of home, but it always takes me to a warm place, and that warmth not only from the soup, but also in my heart when I think of my grandmother making her homemade soup, putting it in the kind of bowl she served it in, and giving me a big soup spoon, which I love to eat soup off of. I've tried to continue that tradition in my own family. My question is this. If you want to make a truly special soup, is there anything that Kim would tell us? Any kind of secret that he has to make a soup special? That's a hard one.
Well, it depends on your seasonings. You might want to take a clove of garlic and crush it and mince it up, or if you have one of those little grater planes, you take a clove of garlic and you rub that over the soup and stir that in, and it kicks. If you like garlic flavor, you can do that, and you can dice up jalapenos or your favorite chili peppers. If you like green chilies, you can throw that. Try taking, if you have a split pea and ham soup, take some green chilies and add them to the ham soup and give it a little heat. You can add some extra ham, smoked ham, you know, but don't be afraid to use peppers, and garlic to kick up the flavors of soups.
Interesting.
Excuse me.
Here's another one. This one's the title bread. Mac, what kind of bread does the chef like with his soup?
Well, I like a French bread.
Look, let me tell you, any kind of bread, as long as there's a lot of butter, we're sitting there next to it.
Yeah, or you make garlic toast.
Yeah, just get out of the way, sports fans, because the chef will knock it down for you. But you made homemade bread in your joint. But when you're eating soup, does it make any difference?
In Italy, we took chunks of bread, a day old, Tuscan bread that has no salt in it, and they tear it up and they put it in this vegetable soup, and it thickens it, and, you know, they cook it for a while, and it's called ribolletta, and it's a kind of a vegetable soup with these chunks of potato of bread in there, and it soaks up the flavor of the soup. It's quite excellent. So if you want to try that with a vegetable soup or a vegetable beef soup you have, you take a French bread and you tear it up into little cubes and throw it in right in the soup and then mix it right in with it. And that'll add it'll thicken it a little bit, and you got that crust from the bread. It's pretty cool. It's quite excellent.
Let me tell you my favorite. My favorite is a warm baguette. I like all the little pores, and I like filling them up with bread. I mean with butter. You can hide a lot of butter in a baguette. Okay. And the butter and the bread along with the soup. Come on. Yeah, I'm going to tell you there, sports fans, you're in the front row with that one.
Yes. A baguette, buttered or with a little bit of grated butter and grated cheese thrown under the broiler for a minute, you can go anywhere you want with that. Garlic salt. Butter, cheese, you're also in the front row. Stick it under the broiler in the oven for about 5 minutes. It's pretty deluxe.
All right, let's talk about cheeses and soup. Cheeses to put on top of soup. For instance, if you were going to put cheese on a bisque, on a tomato bisque, what would you do? Mozzarella? What kind of cheese would you put?
I would probably put a grated Gruyere, Swiss cheese, but I would grate it up, and when it hits the hot soup, it'll be melty and stringy. The French or French onion soup, of course, is a crouton with a piece of Gruyere or grated Gruyere cheese, one or the other, and stick that under the broiler, and it creates a crust. But basically, you get a real Parmesan Reggiano or Romano cheese, an Italian cheese, and you grate that up and sprinkle that on tomato soup. It's pretty deluxe. And the cheese, of course, is salty, so it gives it a little extra flavor there. And of course, I don't eat any soup without a lot of fresh black pepper on it. I like to grind black pepper. I like that heat.
So, again, what's the difference between black pepper and white pepper? Is there any difference in taste? This is just pigmentation?
No, the white pepper is hotter. It comes from the inside of the peppercorn, and it's the hot center, and that's ground up, and it's usually in you can get whole white peppercorns. Sometimes I used to take white and black peppercorns and put them in a pepper mill, and then you grind. And so that's what I would do. But the white peppercorn is hotter.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Interesting. Here's another email about soups. Well, congratulations. I guess I know what I have to go find for lunch today. I am somewhat salivating, and I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow when I will be off, and I can actually do a couple of things you two have spoken about. They sound absolutely delicious. I have a question. I am a bean soup aficionado. Any yes. recommendations for bean soup? I'm not a big bean soup person. I'm like, I would categorize myself as anti bean soup. Yeah.
A white bean soup is my favorite as far as bean soups go. You usually start out with a chicken stock and you cook your beans in it, and then you add a little bit of cream or milk. And when we're making these soups,
yes.
The next few days, do not use skim milk or 2%. Use whole milk, half and half, or heavy whipping cream. Okay?
Why? Okay. So explain why. Does it affect the taste of the soup? Because a lot of people don't use those kind of heavier, for caloric reasons, don't use those kind of heavier milks anymore.
Yes, but you understand that your soup is usually... The base is a chicken stock, is usually your base, and so you don't want a watered down soup. You want a creamy soup, and if you use a skim milk or 2%, you get kind of a watery texture, and you want a soup that sticks to the spoon. And say you put your soup spoon in, and you pull it out, and you want it to be coated with that soup. You don't want it to be kind of runny off. And that's just the way I've always been taught to eat soups and make soups.
Got it.
Is with milk. And if you can't do that and you want a lactose free milk, then you have to use it. But, I'm just talking your decadent point of view, and one that is a hearty soup and sticks to the old ribs on the whole sub-zero days here on the high plains.
All right, here's a here's one about Italian sausage. Mac, I am going to experiment with Italian sausage next time I do any form of tomato bisque. That sounded really good to me. I'm curious, though, does the chef have a favorite kind of sausage? I know a lot of people are partial to chorizo, especially those who have lived in Europe. Does the chef have anything that he uses among those kind of spicy type sausages?
Well, I prefer the sweet Italian sausage and the hot Italian sausage, and I like to mix them. You go to the store and you buy a couple of sausages and, you mix them. You can use one or the other or one of each. And, the thing is, a good Italian sausage will come in a casing, which is usually an intestine. That's how they case sausages. You take a paring knife and you peel that casing off. And then I prefer to chop up or slice it up the sausage. And I like to saute them. And before I put them in, add them into the soup.
Okay, let me, so I have a question because I don't rightly know what you're talking about. So when you say sweet Italian sausage, is there like, can you give me a name? Does it go by a name? How would I?
Well, it doesn't have the hot peppers. It has sweet peppers in it.
Okay.
Like a red pepper, green pepper. It'll be sweet. Sweet peppers and not sugary, but just don't, have the heat.
But,
that,
but does it have a name? How do I find that? Do I just go to the butcher shop and ask?
Sweet Italian sausage. That's all you have to say.
Got it. Sweet Italian sausage.
Yes.
Got it.
Does the hot of Italian have those red pepper flakes in there that you see in pizza joints that throw on pizzas?
Mm-hmm.
And my wife cooks with a lot, and it's most excellent. But if you don't want the heat, then go with sweet.
Well done. Well, I know. All right. So, can you find that at just about any soup? Can you find it at just about any supermarket, or is that something that you'll only find at a butcher shop?
You should be able to find it in markets. I can't imagine that they wouldn't have both. It's not an exotic. Sweet Italian sausage is a normal sausage. But if you want really good ones, I would check a sausage, a meat shop, you know, but a butcher store. But every grocery store should have both.
Got it.
You know, I think Johnsonville, just off the top of my head, Johnsonville sausages,
yes,
they're in every grocery store.
Right.
They should have a sweet Italian sausage.
Okay.
You know, they have the Ville brats.
Yeah, because they have mild and they have spicy, I've seen. I've never seen sweet. I'll have to look for that.
Mild would equate to the sweet Italian sausage. A mild.
Okay. All right. So I'm learning now about Italian sausage. I did not know. Another question. Mac, when you prepare soups, is there an appropriate way to cook them? Do you cook them slower and allow them to heat up? Do you put it on high and let it rip from the start? Is there an appropriate way to actually cook a soup? Oh, now we're...
Well, I think you start out, you saute your veggies.
Yeah.
Medium-high heat. You add your liquid. You might want to bring it up to just to the boil point, and then turn it down and simmer it. Some soups you simmer it with the lid on, and some you simmer it with the lid off to reduce the some of the liquid will evaporate with the lid off. So, but yeah, you don't cook things at full tilt boogie. Once the soup is made, you turn them down and simmer them for sometimes up to a couple hours. That's what I do.
Got it. All right. You got any big plans this weekend? And have I talked to you since the Super Bowl? How'd you lost on the Super Bowl, didn't you?
I did real well. in the Super Bowl.
You did.
I did it exceptionally well.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did.
But you didn't pick it. Your buddy Disco picks it, right?
No, I got to pick the team I wanted. Everybody's a Patriot hater. So I'll take the Patriots. Good. I hate them. Good. Then you can have L.A. You're California boy anyway. Yeah, that's right. They're gonna crush him. I said, good. Yeah, how much you want to bet? Well, yada yada. Okay, let's double it. Okay. And then, and for the Super Bowl, we have all these, we have 20, I think it was 22 side bets. Like, who wins the coin toss? How many, the most first downs, the first touchdown. There's only one in this year's Super Bowl.
How about that?
And so I won three quarters of those. I lost the coin toss. LA won the coin toss. And then I did pretty well. But, yeah. And for your information, the North Dakota Fighting Sioux are on CBS Sports tonight.
Oh, they are.
So I'm sure you get that.
I do.
And that'll be a nationally televised.
Who are they playing?
And they're playing Western Michigan, number 9 team in the country.
Western Michigan is? Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Has the University of North Dakota, are they doing better? Because I watched them play against St. Cloud a couple weeks ago, and I will have to say that they just didn't look like they had the chops this year, which is odd, because normally you don't see them going back-to-back like that. So,
I tell you what, the team they're playing tonight swept them in Grand Forks early in the season.
What?
So they're in Kalamazoo, Michigan tonight, in one of those arenas like the old Ralph Engelstad that holds about 3,000-4,000 fans, and they're rowdy and loud and vulgar, and it's just beautiful. It's the way it should be at hockey games with the students. And so it should be a good one, but yeah, I don't think they're going to do very well. And the West Regional, which they're hosting this year, is in Fargo. So we'll see. They're not doing well, but you never know. They had a week off last week, so they might be healthy. And I know they're going to be ready to play.
All right. There you have it. The chef talking soups today. All right. Well, it's good to hear. You sound good, so it's good to hear that. And I will talk to you in a week. So stay warm up there and eat your soup.
I'm going to eat my soup, and congratulations on the all your efforts that you're doing.
You have to come some point. You got to come check it out. You love it. It's the whole post-traumatic winning thing. I mean, honestly, I do nothing on a daily basis, but once I get off the air here, is set up future dates to do it and talk to people about it. And I was up at 3 this morning because I couldn't sleep, and made a phone call at 4 in the morning to somebody on the East Coast to talk about it. And hey, where are you? Like, I'm in California. Why are you up so early? I can't sleep. I woke up and my brain started working. So, yeah, it's really cool, Kim. And you need to at some point come and watch it when I get back. If I get up towards the northern tier, I would love to come do it in Grand Forks, to be honest with you.
Love to have you here.
Right.
Pack it. Do it in the Chester Fritz.
Because it applies to everybody. It's about how to live with trauma once it enters your life. And there's some great Grand Forks examples that I'm trying to work into. You know, what this, that program, and one of them is Ben Lunick, who's now a police officer in Colorado Springs. Ben is a single amputee from Iraq and has lived with the fact that just before they went out that day, he looked at his one of his best friends and said, "Hey, man, do you mind if I gun and you drive?" And the ID they rolled over detonated right behind the front left wheel, right in front of the driver, and killed one of his best friends. And so it's not like he lives with the guilt of, like, I lived and they didn't. He lives with the guilt that the only reason I lived and the reason that my friend died was because of a choice that I made, that he, as a great friend, said, "Yeah, no problem. I'll switch with you." And so, but Ben is doing, he's doing great things in his life. In fact, it was just the 13th anniversary, I want to say a week or two ago, of when he got wounded. And the other guy is a guy who's a great friend of both Kim and mine. But his name is Greg Lotus. He played in the NFL briefly, and he was an undrafted free agent, made the New York Jets, injured his knee as training camp ended and their first game was getting ready to get going. And they did surgery on him, and the surgery got infected. And they did not find out about it for weeks. And as a result of that, he lost the use of, I believe it's his left leg. And he went from playing in the NFL to being to walking with a cane for the rest of his life, and then on top of that, his wife got breast cancer. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, and he couldn't work. He couldn't support them and his story. So I mean, there's guys who've lived it that are from where we live, and I'm hoping that they can be a part of this as well. And as it kind of develops down the road, so it's very cool, and you would love it. So you need to come see it. So, and maybe you can help me put it together in Grand Forks. So,
well, that would be great. I'd be honored.
Okay, all right, bud. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Take care. Have a great week. Best to everyone.
All right, there you have it. The one and only Chef. The Mighty Chef here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, Talking Soups. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get the Gunner on. More of All Marine Radio coming up next here on a Friday on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.